My dad is a pastor. My grandfather is a pastor. My great-grandfather, pig farmer. No, just kidding, he's a pastor. So there really was no, there was no more obvious career choice for a person than for me to become a pastor. But with that being said, I really did want to become a pastor. This wasn't a case of an overbearing father saying, oh, you got to carry on. I really wanted to become a pastor. And my call to ministry came in an extremely straightforward way when I was about 15 years old. My story with that is that I, for the majority of my childhood, was an avid basketball player, played point guard, obviously. And so loved the game so much. And around the time that I was 14, 15, we moved to Ashburn, and my parents got plugged into a church in Herndon, but where I found my home was with a group of friends that I had found, and that was at a church called Cross Current that was in Ashburn. They met at Eagle Ridge Middle School at the time, pastored by Chris Eads. Some of you might know Chris Eads. And so, and that was my youth group. That was my home, and I loved it. I got plugged in there. It was great. In fact, I think we have a picture of me in youth group. Do we have that up there? Do we have that picture? Me in youth group? No? Yes? No? Great. Okay, so, well, that was going to be fun, but now it's not. So, it was such a good time. It was such a good time. And loved it, and I don't know, there came a point around my sophomore year, I was playing basketball, enjoying that, but I was realizing for 4 or 5 months out of the year, I'm missing youth group because you can't just miss practice and games, you have to go to the, and so I was missing youth group, and I don't know, I missed it. I missed going, I missed what I was missing, and I was realizing my heart was starting to shift, that for my whole life, basketball had been my life, and kind of biblical community had just kind of been a game, and those things started to switch, where basketball is now a game, and biblical community is my life, and so I started getting plugged into youth group and leadership positions and all that kind of stuff. At one point, there was like a drama ministry. This youth group was like, we did a lot of things. And so there was like a drama ministry. You do like human videos and stuff like that. And by my, junior, senior year, I found myself in charge of that. And I don't act. That's not a thing that I do. And so that was that, but that I was that kid who was like leading the things in youth group. So I consider that my gentle call into ministry. Just fell in love with it, fell in love with the leadership role, fell in love with kind of pouring into the sixth graders and all that kind of stuff. Enjoyed it. So then I went to Liberty, naturally, and studied youth ministry. And so I went to Liberty, studied youth ministry, immediately got pulled up to, I was there for 2 weeks. The RA looked at me and said, you should be a prayer leader. Like, you don't even know me, dude. He was like, hey, you just look like a leader. You need to be a prayer leader. I was like, okay, a prayer leader. And then the next year after that, I got pulled up to the next level up, which was like the assistant to the RA. And then that was for 6 months. And then after that, the RA graduated. And so then I'm 19 years old and I'm the RA of my dorm. And so again, just being pulled up, I didn't ask for this, but it's happening. Graduated from Liberty, immediately got married, and found a job in youth ministry. And I've been in youth ministry ever since. There really has never been a smoother call into ministry than what I had. And yet, because the enemy is such a jerk, like even that smooth transition into ministry, if he found a way to make it problematic once I was in ministry. And so the basically what wound up happening is that because my dad's a pastor, my grandfather's a pastor, my great-grandfather is a pastor, and all of them were good, well, successful, high-achieving, did a lot of work for the kingdom pastors, and then I feel like my purpose, and so that's my family's legacy, and now I'm starting to feel like my purpose in life is to do ministry and pursue ministry. That led me toward feeling like my identity was wrapped up in success in ministry, which led me to self-idolatry in ministry, and so ironically, this ministry thing, which is almost inherently others focused, right? Almost inherently kingdom focused, became this thing that was all about me. And it was all about my achievement. It was all about my success. It was all about my platform and my status because it was all about my identity. And so what made that so much worse, what made it so much worse is the environment that I was in. I found myself after college, my first church that I was part of after college, the environment made that so much worse because I was in a church that was all about look and feel and growth and numbers. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times those four words came up in staff meetings. It was all we talked about. The church that I was part of immediately after college, they wanted to be the church in the city. If every other church in the city died off and all of the people went to this church instead, they would have been like, we did it, right? And that was the environment that I was part of. I'm sure you can understand why maybe that would have made my natural sin bent even worse. So I think that probably can be said of you and your journey too in some way or another. Now, maybe it's not ministry, but it's life, right? That for a lot of us, there's the environment, and then there's the lies of the enemy, and then there's your natural sin bent, and those things kind of just swirl together. They kind of make this like hot mess smoothie, you know, that we just kind of walk around sipping on, right? Your environment, the lies of the enemy, and your own natural sin bent, they smoothie together, and then you walk around just kind of sipping on it, and you don't even realize it. You don't even realize it. And so that leads to all kinds of problematic, we'll call it, things. So let me give you an example of this. Here's the environment, okay? The environment is that, maybe the environment is that you're in a dead-end job. Just, the career's just not going anywhere, okay? That's the environment. The enemy has found a foothold in your marriage. That's not going the way that you thought it should go, the way you thought it would go. And your natural sin bent, just kind of the way the twig was bent when you were born, because we're all born with a sin nature, your natural sin bent is lust. Do you see how the smoothie can create a problem? And so I think for a lot of us, I don't know what yours is, that's just an example, but I think for a lot of us, environment, sin bunt, lies of the enemy, hot mess smoothie, we walk around sipping it, we don't even realize it. So in my own story, I'm walking around with this weird mix of self-doubt because my church was all about growth in numbers and my youth ministry was not growing in numbers. And so I'm walking around with the self-doubt of I'm not good enough. Maybe I was never actually, what am I doing wrong? What's wrong with me that my youth ministry isn't growing the way that my bosses feel like it should grow? So I've got this self-doubt inside of me. And of course, remember, if my purpose is to succeed in ministry and my identity is wrapped up in my success in ministry, then this is a problem like deep down, like this hurts. So I'm walking around with that, and then, but I'm also weirdly walking around with this like puffed up sense of pride because I'm starting to discover my giftings in ministry. I'm starting to realize the way that God's gifted me, right? Those early 20s years, I'm like, wow, I feel like I'm pretty good at this in some ways, you know, some other way. So I'm walking with this weird mix, and that led me eventually, this job dissatisfaction mixed with my ability to stand out amongst peers, eventually landed me a job interview at my dream megachurch down south. I mean, just gigantic megachurch down south. Oh, so excited. I'm 22 years old. I already have a natural sin bent toward pride and ego and self-centeredness in ministry. And now, now I have a job interview at 22 years old in my dream church. Right? And where I will eventually, be set on a pathway toward platformed into national influence, right? And be able to kind of determine the direction of youth ministry in America for years to come. I mean, I was hyped. Let's go. And it was for me, remember, I'm a millennial. So for me, it was like, finally, I've been slaving away for 2 years. At this job, finally I am platformed, right? We deserve things. It's just who we are, right? We deserve things. And so I was really excited, and it was just a hot mess. I'm walking around drinking this hot mess smoothie, not even realizing it. And so I walk into the job interview, one of the job interviews, and I'm sitting there with all these, you know, these are big wigs, you know, at the time in the youth ministry community. I'm sitting down in a job interview, and one of the job interview questions comes up, and the question's very simple, very straightforward. Where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years? You know, what do you want to be doing? What do you want to be known for? That kind of stuff. And I looked this guy straight in his eye. I said, I want to be I want to be the best speaker in the world. And I believe that this church can help me get there. You guys want to take a guess at who didn't get that job? Right? So I think now in hindsight, I can look back on those early years in ministry where it was all about me, all about my platform, where my identity was all kinds of jacked up. And I can look and see very clearly that I was walking around sipping a hot mess smoothie, environment, natural sin bent, lies of the enemy. And I'm just sipping on it, didn't even realize it. It's very easy to see that now in hindsight. But I think what would be most helpful for us is if we could find some semblance or at least the beginnings of an answer to the question, how do we identify the hot mess smoothie before we start sipping it? How do we identify it before we start, or at least, man, we'll lower the bar a little bit. How do we at least identify it before we've like chugged it? You know, like how do we get ahead of this thing so that we can live as the people that God has called us to live as the men of God called us to live? And so that's what I want to talk about for a few minutes. And I think we alluded to it earlier, maybe, but the real issue in my life, in my journey in ministry, was that I was all confused in the way that I was seeing God and His role in my life. God's role in my life at the time was that because God had given me a vision and an idea of who He created me, what He wanted me to do, my thought, the way I saw God was that He was my Uber driver, here to take me to my preferred destination. And if at all possible, fast track me to that destination, because God is a God who Emmanuel's with us. He's a God with us God, and I'm a millennial, so let's pick up the pace. And so that's what I was hoping for. That's the way that I saw God. And I think we know, that was wrong, but the question is, how should I have been seeing God? And what should I have been doing? And in order to do that, I want us to take a look in Ephesians 3. And so if you have a Bible, you can turn to Ephesians 3, because that's where we're headed. And Paul... We're talking about Paul for tonight, because if there was anybody who could have been upset at the way that God was piloting their life after Christ, it was Paul. Because if God was Paul's Uber driver, dude deserved one star. Because after coming to faith in Jesus, Paul went from being comfortable and wealthy to being beaten down and ostracized, right? Like, dude went from the top of society to the bottom of society. There is a 0% chance that Paul's life after Christ went the way that he expected it to go. God was not doing a good job piloting this aircraft. And so I'm curious, and I think we should be curious what Paul's attitude was toward God in the midst of this, because I'm wondering if it's going to help us do a little bit less sipping on the hot mess smoothie that the enemy is trying to get us to take a sip from. And so we are in Ephesians 3, where Paul is writing to the Ephesian people, and he is writing to them because they were worried about the way his life was going. And he wanted to write to them to kind of help them settle down. Here's my perspective on it. Here should be your perspective as well when God is not piloting your aircraft in the direction that you want it to go. And so we're in Ephesians 3, starting in verse 13, and here's what Paul writes. So please, Ephesians, don't lose heart because of my trials here. I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And this, I think, at least a piece of it, this is at least a piece of what I was missing. I would say maybe a big piece of what I was missing. Like, I'm seeing God as like, okay, God, you love me, right? Take me over there, right? I want to go there. Let's go over there, God. This is where I want to go. Let's go there and let's get a move on about it. And Paul says, no. No. The point isn't that God is going to take you over there. The point is to find yourself rooted deeply in his love so that you can become strong, right? That you would be so deeply rooted in Christ's love that you would be strong and able to deal with anything that comes your way, that you would have the kind of character that can withstand whatever twists and turns that life brings your way. And I just think that this is better. I think it's better than the smoothie. I think it's better than what the smoothie leads us toward, right? And so I just think it's better. That when life isn't going the way we want to, when our environment, whatever that environment is, our environment is a big disappointment, right? When the lies from the enemy are creeping in and whispering stuff to us about that, and then when you've got your natural sin bent, the enemy doesn't even have to whisper to you about this thing, you're just already there, right? And when all of those things start to come together, that you would not be so worried about the discontentment over here because you're more concerned with finding your strength and your peace in who God is and in his love for you, and that you would become strong regardless of whether or not life is going the way you want it to. And that is just the beginning of what Paul tells the Ephesians. But then it gets better, because in verse 18, Paul says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." And there is a promise here that I think some of us have missed. I know this is a promise that 22-year-old Mike was missing. The promise is that when you come to, like, your hot mess smoothie has you missing it, right? The promise is that when you come to understand to the fullest extent that you are able, just how, it sounds trite. If you're a Christian, you've heard this so many times, but I still think some of us are missing it. When you come to fully understand how much God loves you, how deep and how far and how high and how wide that love goes, then the promise, you will be made complete. Which is what every single one of us are looking for. That's what we're searching for. This is why you've got the hot mess smoothie, the one I mentioned earlier that was very clearly leading toward an affair, right? That the reason that affairs happen is because we want to be complete, right? The reason that people take shortcuts is because we want to be complete. We are all looking to be complete. And Paul says, listen, the key to being complete, you want to be made complete? Here's how God's going to do it. When you understand fully just how much God loves you, just how much he loves you, then you will be made complete. And here's what I mean by that, just how much God loves you. Because that sounds really trite and we hear it all the time, right? Jesus loves me. Here's what I mean by that. Some of us have made the mistake of believing that God loves us. We're asking the question, God, do you love me enough to take me where I want to go? Like, do you love me that much? And that's the question we want to know of God. And then sometimes he doesn't take us where we want to go. And we're like, oh, he doesn't. Cool. But I just think we're missing it. Because God loves you so much more than that. So much deeper than that. Like, God doesn't love you like, take me where I want you to take me, God. God loves you, make me complete by the time we get there. Like, that's how much God loves you. He loves you. You just want to get there. And God wants to complete you on the way there. You just want to get, you're like, I want to get there any old way. As long as we get there, I'm good. And God's like, no. But wherever there is, I want you to be complete by the time. That's how much he loves you. Way more than we could have possibly thought. Like, God wants to do so much more in you than you then we like we fathom, like we want so little, like we are like children in the slums, content baking little mud pies, because we have no idea, right? We have no idea what it's like to have a holiday at sea, right? That quote, right? We expect more. Elevate your expectations of God. And this is what Paul leads us to do. And given the context of where Paul was at and what he had lived through, I really think this is pretty solid advice. I feel like Paul knows what he's talking about, because he knows what it is to have your environment not be what you thought it was going to be in Christ. And so Paul tells us God wants to complete you on the way there. God wants to do immeasurably more than you can imagine. And that's exactly what Paul says next. Verse 20, he says, "Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." And that just seems better. So, this is my question to you. I want you to think about it tonight, this weekend. I do want you to think about, what are the ingredients in your hot mess smoothie? I want you to think about that. I mean, what's the environment? What's the lies from the enemy that you're kind of listening to? And then what are your own natural sin bents that are all mixing together to get you caught up in all kinds of poor patterns of thinking, behavior, core beliefs? You got wounds that you're just festering everywhere. They're never getting healed. What's your hot mess smoothie? What combines to create that? And I think that's an important question, and we should know the answer to that question. We should at least pursue an understanding of the answer to that question. But I think until we shift the way that we see God and his role in our lives and what he wants to do with our lives, as long as we are too hyper-focused on the destination and not understanding that God loves us in the process, and that's where his love is most displayed, is in the process and who he's making us on the way there, wherever there happens to be, I think until we have that shift in focus, I don't think we're ever going to experience the kind of joy and the kind of contentment and the kind of peace in life that God has called us to as men. I don't think we're ever going to experience the kind of joy and contentment and peace that Paul was able to experience despite the fact that his life was a living hell. Like, I just don't think we're going to be able to do it. And yet, I think that's exactly what we have access to in Christ. I think that's how much God loves us. That even when that is going poorly, and even when this is just bombarding us constantly, and we're just like, no, Satan, no, no, right? And it's just constantly coming at us. And even when our natural sin bent starts to act up, and all those, even when all that stuff is happening, that we would be okay. In fact, we would be more than okay. We would be victorious, we would be conquerors, we would be more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I think that that is the key. That is the key to becoming the kind of man that Paul was. And I think it's attainable. Like, I think it's available to us. But we have to elevate our expectations. We have to want more of God. Because he wants to do immeasurably more in us than we could possibly ask or imagine. So if we have a minute or two of music back there, I have to do this thing where I have to switch mics with Mike. Mike has to switch mics with Mike. And so while we're doing that, if there's any kind of music back there, I just would love to give everybody just like a minute or two to ask the Lord to answer the question, what are the ingredients to my smoothie, right? What are the ingredients to my, just start right now. And then we'll have small group time later and we can talk about it, but let's start processing that right now. That way we're ready when small group time comes, we're ready to have that conversation.